Are you glory bound?
Amen.
Are you ready to go right now? That's one of my favorite evangelism stories of all time. The barber, been real convicted about needing to do evangelism. He had been really scared to do that, and he finally got up the courage. The next customer comes in, "Lord, I will tell them about you." And he was an old-timey barber, had the straight razor shave, and he got the guy all lathered up, and he got his razor out and stropped it and got it ready, and he said, "Are you ready to meet God?" And that guy got out of that chair and left. He didn't really get to tell him about Jesus, but he had a good intentions. So when I ask if you're ready now, it's not a threat. It's not a threat. I'm just asking. We're in Matthew chapter 7. If you're able, let's stand together. Thankful that you're here this afternoon. Pray for those that are not here. A lot of different reasons for that, but just want to pray. We love to see the house full. When the saints gather, so pray for that. Ask. Seek. Knock. And we'll see what God does. But before we read the word this afternoon, Brother Randy, would you lead us in a word of prayer? Amen. While you're still standing, ask, the Lord says, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him. Amen. Please be seated. This morning we looked at the commands, ask, seek, and knock, and we looked at the promises, find, receive, find, and it shall be opened. And then Jesus just paints a contrast. He argues, it was a common, from what I understand, a common rabbinical way of teaching from the lesser to the greater. And that's what the Lord does here, comparing us, earthly fathers, to God, our Heavenly Father. I want you to think about this afternoon as we just think about our Father and just remember the truth of who He is. Throughout the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus repeatedly points His disciples to the reality of God the Father, personal, perfect, Heavenly Father. He teaches that their light should shine before men so that others can see their good works and glorify their Father which is in heaven, that loving their enemies will show them to be the children of their Father, which is in heaven, who sends rain and sunlight both on the just and the unjust, that they may be perfect as their Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. He warns against doing righteous deeds for human praise, for the praise of men, so that they don't lose the reward of their Father, which is in heaven. And when they pray, they should do so secretly, privately, to their Father, which is in secret, and their Father, which sees in secret, will reward them openly. They're not to pray with vain repetitions like the heathen, because their Father knows what things they need before they even ask. And they're to pray, "Our Father, which is in heaven," or "who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread." We pray to our Father. If they forgive men their trespasses, their Heavenly Father will forgive them. If they refuse to forgive, their Father will not forgive their trespasses. When they fast, they're to do so before their Father, which is in secret, and their Father, which sees in secret, will reward them openly. To remember that the birds of the air are cared for by their Heavenly Father who feeds them, that you don't have to worry or live with anxiety and fear because your Father in heaven knows what you have need before you even ask. They're reminded here that their earthly fathers, even though they're evil, know how to give good gifts, and we ought to be reminded how much more our Heavenly Father will give good things to those who ask. I'm just trying to tell you that all through this, He keeps talking about your Father, our Father, and the point is we have a very personal Father in heaven. Amen. And there were a lot of people, I think, in Jesus' day who felt like God was very far away and that they could not come near to him. The truth is, our sin keeps us from God, and we cannot draw near to God on our own. But through faith in Jesus, we can come boldly to the throne of grace and mercy and find help that we need. He is our Father. The truth of who he is he is the perfect, personal, holy, heavenly Father. That's who he is. And he reminds us of who we are. If ye then being evil, we are fallen. We, by nature, are fallen away from the presence of God. We are fallen away from communion with God. We are fallen away from relationship and fellowship with God because of our sin nature. We are sinful creatures. That's who we are. We all know that's who we were before we were saved, right? Before I came to faith in Christ, I was without God and without hope in the world. I was a sinner and sinful, being in sin. I was ungodly, doing ungodly deeds with ungodly thoughts and ungodly ways. That's who I was. I was under the wrath of God. I was an enemy of God. That's who all of us are without Christ. But Jesus Christ makes a way. He made a way for us to be brought to him. He bridged the gap through his cross, where we can come over and we can be near to God. And when we're born again, we are born again into the family of God. Jesus said you must be born again to enter into the kingdom. We are adopted as sons and daughters, as the children of God, legally made heirs of Christ. We are given all the rights and privileges as a joint heir of God with Jesus Christ. He takes away our sin forever. He gives us everlasting hope and an everlasting home. God has done so much for us in our salvation and made us one of his own. But even those who are born again, even those who have been saved, we still sin. Amen. Amen. Jesus is speaking in this sermon to both disciples and those who are unbelievers. He's speaking to a multitude, a mixed multitude. But even in that, he's talking to all of them and saying, you being evil. So even those who are saved, we can still sin against God. We still have this nature. We live in tabernacles of the flesh with fleshly desires and carnal minds. And even though you're born again, you are a new creation in Christ, we're still evil. Amen. We still have wickedness in us. I know we point to it all the time. It's Romans 7. The Apostle Paul talked about the war that was in his members that he fought all the time. The good that I would do, I don't do. The evil that I would not do, that I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And the answer is Jesus Christ. And so he has saved you. You are forever delivered from the penalty of sin. You have forgiveness and eternal life, but he is delivering you from the power of sin, that sanctification. That's the process we're in. And in the meantime, there's going to be times that you'll stumble and you'll fall. And I just want to remind you today that you need Jesus as much now as you ever did. Amen. I needed him when I was 14 and I prayed and I asked him to be my savior. I needed him or else it was hell for me forever and he saved me, but I still need him exactly the same today. It hasn't changed. He's keeping me, and he's promised to do so. But I'm saved because he saved me, yes. I'm saved because he is saving me, yes. Amen. And I don't want to confuse things by pointing to all that. I just want you to know that Jesus reminds us. He looks at the crowd, and the disciples are there, Peter and James and John, the others, they're there, and he looks at them, and he says, if you guys who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children. So he's reminding them of who they are, the truth of who we are. And even in our sinful condition, even though we are evil by nature, we know how to give good gifts to our children. Amen. You wouldn't give a stone for your hungry child. You'd give them bread. You wouldn't give them a serpent. You wouldn't give them a snake, a viper, if they ask for a fish. And the interpreters debate about whether he's talking about a snake or a eel. An eel would be something that they couldn't eat under the law. It would be unclean. So you wouldn't give your child something that would make them unclean. Or it could be a snake like we would think of. And you certainly wouldn't do that, right? Amen. Hey, Dad, can we have fish for dinner? I don't know. Let me go see if I can find a copperhead in the yard. I mean, that's crazy, right? Because we even in our fallen nature, generally speaking, we know how to be good to our kids. Amen. And I would say in our culture today, we are exceedingly good to our kids. Somebody say amen. Come on. Amen. These kids are spoiled. to death. We love them and we want to do good to them. And I see people spend enormous amounts of time and money and effort trying to do everything for their kids they could possibly do, because even though we're evil, we want to do good for our kids. Amen. But look at the character of our Father. I mean, I don't know if you highlight or underline in your Bible, but it would be good if you do to just underline these words in verse 11. How much more? Amen. How much more? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good to them that ask him? And it's good, right? Amen. We're evil creatures. We're sinful, but we know how to take care of our kids because God's put that in us. We feed them. We take care of them. We want to do that. I understand that there are some parents that are not doing that, but generally speaking, people know how to take care of their kids. And he's saying, if that's true of you who are evil, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, how much more shall your Father in heaven give good things to them that ask him? If a sinful fallen human will give good gifts to his children, how much more will a perfect, holy, all-loving, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present Father give good? And he is so, so good. Isn't he? I mean, we can all look to Romans 5 and we can say, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Like, we know he loves us, right? He commends his love. He proved, he demonstrated, he showed his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But it's not just that. You know he's good because of today. Amen. You know he's good to you because of yesterday and the day before and the day before. He has been good to you day after day, month after month, year after year. He has been so, so good to us. Even when we weren't seeking him, he was still being good to us.
Amen.
Even when we were rebelling against him and hating everything about him, he was still good to us.
Amen.
And he's brought us to where we are because he is so, so good. He is a good, good Father.
Amen.
A good, good Father. So God has given us this condition. He's made us his own, and that's because of who he is. That is his nature and his good. And because he is good, he gives good things to them that ask. He gives good things to them that ask. Now, we looked at Luke 11 this morning. I want to draw your attention there again and notice how God does this. Luke 11, verse 11. Now, remember I told you this morning it's a parallel teaching. Jesus teaching the same truths at a different time and place, but the truths are the same. And he says in verse 11, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Like, it's next level evil, isn't it? Scorpions are demonic and you should never be near them. They all need to die. Amen? There will be no scorpions in the millennium. I'm sure of it. I'm just kidding. They will. They just won't sting anymore. They'll be nice scorpions. No reasonable human being would give a child a scorpion. He wants an egg. You don't give him a scorpion. That's crazy. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?
Amen.
Now, in Matthew's account, he says good things. Good things. Good gifts. In Luke's account, he says the Holy Spirit. And so when you study this out, you might have read those and you're like, well, which one is it? Is it good things or is it the Holy Spirit? And the answer is, yeah, it's yes. I want you to check this out. You have a heavenly Father who doesn't just give you good things out of his infinite storehouse in heaven. Like just thinking about like this. If God, think of it like a bank full of gold. God doesn't just give you some of the gold out of the bank. He gives you the bank.
Amen.
You realize that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He doesn't just give you some things to help you. He gives you everything because he gives you himself.
Amen.
Jesus said when he ascended to heaven that he would not leave you comfortless. He said, I will come to you. And the way he did that was by sending his Holy Spirit to indwell and empower everyone who's in Christ. And he gives you his Spirit. His Spirit lives inside of you. His Spirit is quickening you. His Spirit is guiding you, teaching you into all truth. Of course, he's convicting you of sin, but he is empowering you and strengthening you to do what? Everything that Jesus has been teaching. So from the context, what did we learn this morning? The whole context isn't, hey, come to me and just bring me all the things that you want in life. I'll give you anything you want if you just ask. No, the context is you got all these things Jesus is teaching you to do that are impossible for you to do. And you're like, how am I going to do that? I can't do it. Jesus says, ask, seek, and knock, and I'll give you everything you need to live in this kingdom the way I want you to. And the way he does that, not just by giving you good things, but by giving you himself in his Holy Spirit. Amen. Gives you everything. I just think about it, guys. If you have the Spirit of God, what else do you need? Do you have the Spirit of God?
Amen.
How do you know? For the Bible tells me so.
Amen.
The same way I know he loves me, because the Bible says that whoever is born of God, whoever is born again is born of God. Romans chapter 8 says that his Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, joint heirs of God and of Christ. And I just, he gives good things, that's true. But not only that, he gives the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He gives himself by his Spirit, and all the good things flow from his Spirit.
Right.
He gives us all good things, and they flow from his Spirit. Asking, seeking, and knocking is all about praying the way that God wants us to pray. And what he does here is he teaches us to continually, fully rely on God alone. And he teaches us to do that like a precious child, to live out your life in the kingdom. Now, I know that there are people in the room, maybe watching online, who didn't grow up with a loving earthly father. That may be very true for you, but a lot of you did. And whoever raised you, most of you could say, if I needed something, I could go to them and say, hey, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, whoever it was, you could go to them and say, I need something, and they would give it to you.
Amen.
And so many of you grew up with parents or grandparents who raised you, who sacrificed a lot to give you, not just what you needed, but so much more.
Amen.
And you didn't hesitate. Like, when I was a kid, unless it was something stupid, I knew there were stupid things to ask my dad for, but if I was hungry or thirsty, I needed something to eat or drink, I never hesitated to go to mom and say, mom, I'm hungry.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
You guys understand what I'm getting at? Like, and that's, he's teaching us to have, that we have that relationship over and over. He said, your father, our father. And what he's telling you is that you are loved by your father.
Amen.
And he loves you way better than any earthly parent ever could. And if your earthly parents could give you good things, then how much more will your Father in heaven? So don't be afraid to go to him. Run to him. Climb up in his lap and put your hands on his face and say, Abba, Father, I need you.
Amen.
We have to learn to go to God for everything because he is everything. I told you this morning, sometimes I think we expect God to take our prayers more seriously than we take them. And I think we need to pray fervently and earnestly. And I think we need to pray with faith. And I think we need to pray consistently. In these passages, I think Jesus teaches against some things that are important for us to be reminded of today. Jesus teaches against prayerless lives. He teaches us to pray.
Amen.
He expects us to pray. He teaches against fatalism. Jesus doesn't say to us, God knows before you ask, so don't pray. What he says is, your Father is good, so pray.
Amen.
And I've seen too many Christians who, the more they understand the Bible, they start to learn a little bit about the sovereignty of God. And for some reason, rather than driving into a closer relationship with God, they pull back and they say, well, there's no sense in me praying. What's going to happen is going to happen. Listen, God does know the end from the beginning, and he is going to accomplish his purposes, but read your Bible. He accomplishes his purposes through his people and through prayer.
Amen.
He wants you to pray. He commands you to pray, and I just don't understand how you could study the Bible and come away with it and say, I'm not going to pray anymore. No sense in me praying anymore. Well, you're not obeying Jesus. So pray. Your Father is good and he loves you and he wants to give you good things, but he expects you to ask. Amen. Jesus teaches against prosperity nonsense. He doesn't say your Father will give you houses, vehicles, riches. He says he will give you good things, things that accompany eternal life is what he's going to give you. He's going to give you good things that pertain to life and to godliness. He's going to give you good things that have to do with peace and holiness. He's going to give you good things that go right along with kingdom living, and that's what he's been teaching us about. J.C. Ryle said, prayer is the simplest act in all religion. It is simply speaking to God. Amen. Yet it is at the same time the highest act. It is the turning of the soul to God. And whether we realize it or not, when we pray biblically, what we're doing is we are literally casting all our care upon him, because at some level we believe that he cares for us. Amen. I want to continue to cast everything on him. And I want to understand more and more fully how much he cares Amen. For us. Amen. We have a good, good Father.
Amen.
So much better than us, who, even though we're evil, know how to give good things to our kids. How much more does he give to those who ask?
Amen.
Of himself, through his Spirit, and all good things that flow from his Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the time together this afternoon. I pray that you'll work in our hearts and help us to be faithful in prayer. When we pray, we'll pray believing. When we'll pray privately like you've taught us to, that we'll pray together how you've also taught us to. That when we pray, we'll pray nothing wavering, but with confidence in who you are, confidence in your will being accomplished. Lord, I pray that you'll help us, teach us to pray. And when we pray, that we would pray faithfully and consistently and in your Spirit, and that you would get glory because we are trusting in you. Please forgive us, guide us into all truth, and help us to walk in that truth by your grace. Lord, we cannot live out our kingdom lives without your help. It's beyond us. But you've given us everything we need through yourself, through your word, and through your Spirit so that we can. So we ask for that today. Forgive us and guide us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before we